A lot of times we've allowed society to imbue in us this idea that work is what defines you. And that's completely opposite the way it should be, at least from a Christian, a Christ-centered view of things, because what should define you as a man, as a business person, is God's love for you.
Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. Our men's faith formation groups follow the example of servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas who lived the gospel in his simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields in the prisoner of war camp in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Insan, his response to accompany his men during the battle that ensued and their subsequent capture resulted in Father Capon becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in United States Army history. The Foxhole has been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circles, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have Father Nathaniel Haslam. Originally from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Father Haslam took a more unconventional route to his vocation. You don't find a lot of men wearing a Roman collar who can adeptly talk about fluid mechanics, material science, network theorems, fault analysis, and calculus, but having a degree in mechanical engineering and electrical engineering from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York, and then doing a stint at IBM is where the Lord took him prior to his vocation, entering the Order of the Legionnaires of Christ in 1999 and becoming ordained a Catholic priest in 2010. During his formation and studies in the U.S. and Rome, his business background and future work providentially would begin to coalesce. He helped to organize and coordinate the first ever Vatican Executive Summit, where over 50 top CEOs and international business executives discussed the financial crisis and business ethics in light of Pope Benedict's landmark document, Charity and Truth. I met Father several years ago in Houston and was inspired by his work, and we collaborated on a retreat for several Houston business leaders that was a grace-filled weekend, where I was privileged to introduce those men to Father Capon's story. Father Nathaniel pointed out that the same virtues Father Capon emulated, particularly courage, faith, hope, and mission, are very applicable to those of us who have made a career in business. Today, much of Father's work is with business leaders in Houston, where he resides. He serves as National Business Ethics Advisor for the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Houston Chaplain for the Lumen Institute, where he assists business leaders through personal coaching and advising in the areas of faith, character, and leadership so as to have a quote-unquote business plan for life and not just for their company. Before I go, I want to remind everyone that you can find all of our resources at capeandfen.com and watch our free faith formation series at form.org. You can also share this and our previous podcast with friends via any podcast format. Joe Ferris will lead us with a prayer, and with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Father Nathaniel and Joe. Good morning, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Jason. Thank you very much. I am super excited. That kind of resume, that kind of bio gets me pumped. This is going to be a great call this morning. Before we jump on with Father Nathaniel, though, I just want to pray with everyone, and I have been saying this for weeks, and I believe it because it's in my heart, and that is that I am honored to spend time with anybody who logged on, who came on the call this morning, or who has downloaded the podcast, and I just want to assure you that one of the most valuable resources you have is your time. And when you give that time to coming closer to God and coming closer to each other and being challenged and encouraged and inspired, I believe that God blesses that work. So know that your time today is not going to be wasted. And I want to pray. Morning prayer this morning has a couple sentences that I think are super important as we pray today. It said, sing to him a new song, exalt and and exclaim his name. A new hymn I will sing to my God. So in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. God, we come to you today on this new day, a new opportunity, a new chance, Lord. And for a lot of us, this is a time where we are nervous, where people's jobs have changed and their family situations have changed. And God, I just pray that you give us a newness as we approach despair, a newness as we approach the fear sometimes of unknowing and not seeing where things are going. And I just pray, God, that on this day, you give us the courage to sing a new song to you today, Lord, to exalt and acclaim your name to a world that so deeply needs to hear your name. I pray, God, a new hymn each person that downloaded this podcast or is on this call this morning can sing to you. I pray for those that are lonely, those that are afraid, those that are uncomfortable, and potentially, Lord, those that are sick or those who have loved ones that are sick. I just pray that you are with us as we, Lord, have come to be with you today. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness, Father Nathaniel, it is so exciting to have you. I heard calculus in that introduction, so I kind of started tuning out right then because that's way above my abilities academically. But I am honored that you are with us. And I just want to start with Jason spoke of your familiarity with Father Capon. And I would love for you to just kick us off with how you kind of came to his story and how his story has inspired you in your priesthood.
Well, good morning, everyone. And Joe and Jason, thank you for your kind words and introduction. It's an honor to be with you all of you today in this foxhole here, men and women across the states and wherever you hail from. And just to put everyone at ease, I'm not going to give you like a little calculus lesson this morning. Okay, so I thought about that and decided to delve into deeper things here. So Father Capon, actually my first introduction to Father was actually a wonderful brother priest, Legionary of Christ, who's actually in my community here in Houston named Father Jared, and he hails from Father Capon land there, and he's told me all about him over the years. And so I had heard the story before we had met Jason there, and it's kind of just been an evolving getting to know more about him. So what two things that I thought that personally of many that touched me about him and resonate with me as a priest and also as a son of God, like all of you here on this call. One was seeing a man of prayer. It's so easy in our modern world of frenetic activity, including with our work sometimes, that prayer gets relegated to the sidelines and it begins to be something that's less important, including for priests. We, as you know, can be very susceptible to activism as priests, a lot of duties that are asked of us. And I just, whenever I heard Father Capon's story and also, of course, saw photos, videos of him, it just struck me that he seemed to be a man that was first and foremost a man of prayer, a man of the Mass, the sacraments, a man of God, which is really what a priest should be. And we're all called to be in our own walks as well. So a man of prayer who put God first and took time every day to pray, which really is the foundation. And I'll come back to that later in some of the challenges I see with folks in the business world. Another one that struck me is kind of like you alluded to and talked about a little bit earlier here in the show is just that he seemed to be very much a man of the mission, a man in the fight, the spiritual fight for souls, for helping bring people to heaven, to walking with them in the journey. And so he saw his life as a mission, and he was not going to run away from that mission. That certainly resonates with me because in the kind of spirituality of the Legionaries of Christ and our movement, Regnum Christi, we have very much a spirit of hearing the call to be modern day apostles of the Lord, allowing our Christian leadership to develop and deployed so that we can bring the gospel into culture, into society at every single level, to every single person, including the most challenging, the battlefronts, if you will, that are the hardest or that have been most abandoned, et cetera. So that when I see this man of God who was not afraid to stand in the breach and be there with people where they needed him most, it definitely is inspiring to me personally and resonates with me a lot.
That's beautiful stuff. Man on a mission. That's a great description of Father Capon. And a lot of us, that's our introduction. He doesn't storm in the room as the loudest, most boisterous personality. It's like this slow drip of his story.
Yep.
And you start to see it develop around you. Speaking of that, Father, for you, I would just love to hear a little bit about your background your vocation, maybe, because this is a fascinating, the intro Jason gave, it's just a fascinating story of how you came to know the Lord, and even potentially how the Lord pursued you through all of that and took you to this space where now you're really in a place of influence in Houston.
Well, I've told story, people sometimes ask me to give my vocation testimony, and I've told that for even up to 4 hours, so you could get a four-minute version, I guess, in this short show, the very condensed version. But I always tell people that really I was from a very young age planning to be a CEO. I've always had, I guess God's given me a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. And so I'd always dreamt of starting a $1 billion company and such things and getting married and traveling the world. And being a priest was never on the radar for me. Not, it really didn't come along the radar until I was in college. So I in a family of three, a family that was Catholic and Protestant mix. And when my mom passed away when I was 15, I quickly went into kind of an atheistic downspin until I went to college. So for several years, I was kind of away from church, away from the Lord, and caught up in different addictions and different pathways that, you know, I think we all, in one way or the other, we all walk a prodigal son walk in our life. And I certainly had my version of that. And it was really in college the Lord started to call me back, and when I started to work at Xerox, that although I had my doubts about faith, that God really went into overdrive in terms of bringing me back to experience the Eucharist, to experience confession after 8 years of being away from confession and being very afraid to enter that confessional box, if you will, have that heart-to-heart with a priest and see it as in an act of faith that it was God at work. And then, you know, after coming back to church and getting involved in the church, it became apparent that the Lord started with saying, well, look, you know, I was saying, Lord, I want to give you everything. I want to, give you my future and all these different things. But in the back of my mind, back of my heart, I had those little conditions. Well, yes, but I'm still going to be the billionaire. Yes, I'm still going to marry a Tatiana of the world. Or I'm still going to travel the world and do my plan ultimately. And God, you know, gently but firmly gradually came around and said, well, look, you know, that's all nice and I appreciate that, but what I really want is all of you, and I want you to be my priest. You know, I want you to be my priest. And then from there, well, after I learned the hard way as well that when you're becoming a priest, just like I guess to some degree, there's a lot when you're discerning marriage, you know, one thing is to discern marriage, and I'm called to marriage. Another thing is that there's a lot of potential spouses out there, and like, God, who are you calling me to give my life to and to serve and lay down my life for as a spouse? In the priesthood, there are dozens and dozens of possible ways between diocesan and religious life. And so eventually God led me to the Legionaries of Christ, which was an order I'd never heard of, and certainly was for me at the very beginning of my walk going to be a path of greater challenge, because it wasn't necessarily right away. I didn't see the connections of my, I thought I might be more of, if I wasn't really a diocesan priest, I might be more of a hermit or called a monastic life. Padre Pio was a big hero of mine and had played in my vocation, St. Francis and some others. So I didn't see myself initially going to be called to the kind of active mission field and being on the front lines of bringing the gospel into culture and society like I am now as a kind of a missionary priest in the field. So that's a really short version. I'm very grateful to the Lord. And it just goes to show something, again, I was going to refer back to, that God, despite, you know, your life being like crooked, a bunch of crooked lines, he can actually write straight and bring things to a very amazing place.
I totally agree. As a fellow crooked line, it's a crazy way to get there, but it certainly makes the adventure fun, right? It's JP2 calling mm-hmm. it life with Christ is adventure. Well, since that time, Father Nathaniel, you've done a lot of work in the business community. I mean, I don't think there's anyone questioning that. I would be more curious to some of the challenges you've seen businessmen and women, they kind of come up against, and a lot of them possibly even are on this call, or people are on this call that run businesses, maybe they're CEOs, or maybe they have other spaces in the business world. What are the things you're seeing, and what are some of the encouragements that you're kind of given as a result of that new or that role, not new role, but that role
sure,
that you serve?
Sure. Good question. And of the many lessons, I'm just going to mention maybe three real quick. One is, and this is critical and maybe gets overlooked very easily, but I find that most men and women, and this doesn't just go for like top level executives or business owners, although I was very surprised. I've come to basically expect this even among seasoned veterans in the business world, but it's also in the young professionals, that A lot of times we've allowed society to imbue in us this idea that work is what defines you, that work is my identity, that work is the measuring card, my success in business is, and what people think of me there, and is what is my standard, or is my measure as a man. And that's completely opposite the way it should be, at least from a Christian, a Christ-centered view of things, because what should define you as a man, as a business person, is God's love for you, as a daughter of God, as a son of God, that I am loved, infinitely valuable, treasured, I'm a son or daughter of the Father, and always wanted by the Lord, and always meaningful to the Lord. And so that's something I find missing quite a bit. The identity of the man or woman I'm dealing with is often off kilter a bit. So I think it's something that in the world we are, frankly, it's a lie of the devil. It's a bit of a demonic grenade, if you will, that's been thrown in the foxhole of each person's life a little bit. And we're a little bit wounded in our identity sometimes. So I think reclaiming the identity as a daughter, son of God is very important, because it's then that you realize that your work does matter to the Lord. Also, it has its proper place. Work doesn't define me, but then work becomes a mission. It becomes part of my mission field, right, to live out, and that my work, just like St. Joseph's, just like, of course, the Lord Jesus himself, work becomes an avenue of grace, of holiness, of glorifying the Father, of course, providing for the family and helping others as well. But work should flow from your identity. So making, kind of shoring up your identity is, I would never presume that any of us has got that 100% yet. So just to kind of, and that's something that we get from prayer, from looking at Jesus Christ, asking him to ground us, root us in him as a son or daughter of God. So that's the first thing. A little more practical is that the balance of life, and this is something probably you've all heard or experienced, that just the balance is off a little bit. And what I mean by that is that, again, that I typically, when I go in and meet someone for the first time, I give them like, hey, does this resonate with you? And usually it does. So I just draw little lines on, you know, vertical lines. And, you know, the first, I kind of like boxes. And the first box is, you know, it's a medium-sized box, and that's kind of typically family. I draw a very large box, which is actually about 70-80% of the whole area that we're working with on the board. And like, okay, this is work. And then you have this little tiny sliver that is maybe faith and prayer time. And then another box is a little bit bigger. That's usually like your hobbies or community involvement and things like that. And this is, I'd say on average, the distribution of time and energy and focus that most people have, at least in the United States. But they say, look, you know, but this is not the way, this is a schizophrenic existence when you live compartmentalized like this. The way, what God wants to do is integrate all of these into a harmony where you are one person, right? You're not one person when you're home. You're another person when you're at work. You're another person when you're with your friends. And God, you barely have time for. So what I encourage them to is that what God and the Holy Spirit will do to you is I draw another image that's concentric circles, where at the very center, concentric, kind of like a solar system model, and God at the center, family around that, work around that is the third circle, and then the fourth circle, your community impact or social activities or service to the church, other outreach things that you do, that this is where, you know, trying to, with the help of God, your life can have a better balance and be centered. And that being centered in God then flows into your family life. God and your family then inform and flow into the way you work and why you work and how you work. Those three then flow into, well, how much time do I have to give to community, to sports, to my hobbies, to my giving to the community, etc. So finding some that kind of integration in life is not easy, but it's something that is very helpful. And the last thing I'd mention, the third one briefly, is what I alluded to before, is that our work field is a mission field. And so for that reason, to also take courage and be bold to live your faith there. It doesn't mean necessarily going around with a Bible and going from cubicle to cubicle or being obnoxious with our faith. But at the same time, of course, as Scripture tells us, and we see in the Acts of the Apostles, this idea of boldness to recognize, okay, well, every single person needs Jesus, and deep down they want Jesus, even if they don't know him. And so we're called to be his witnesses and just accompany men and women with intentionality wherever we are, and how am I called to serve each one of them? And they'll know Jesus, especially through our love and our attention and availability to them. So Those would be the three areas: reclaiming our identity in Christ first and foremost, and therein our work finds meaning and purpose. Secondly, finding balance and not being, we have to roll up our sleeves and let that happen. It doesn't happen overnight. And then thirdly, our mission, our work as a mission field, and be bold and courageous therein.
There's a lot of gold in that, Father, and I really appreciate the way you speak of things like reclaiming identity, because what happens is, I think as men and women in the work world, it's like a badge of honor to be tired. And I think when you live out of your identity and you live out of balance, I think you're always exhausted. Mm-hmm. Like I find when I'm in that space, I have more energy and more passion to live. And for sure, what's happened in our world the past 6 months has been this cosmic shift as the world has changed at a variety of levels. And I think we could spend a lot of time talking about the negatives, but I'd love for you, based on what you've seen and experienced, to kind of open up some of the positives that you've seen as this kind of thing, as things have changed in the world a little bit. What are a few positives you've noticed potentially in the work with the CEOs and some of the men you've walked with, but even just in your own prayer life as you've watched this all happen?
Well, deep question. Well, something I think from, be it with the coronavirus and other things that have gone on, something that a lot of people talk about, which I definitely see, is a better appreciation for family life is, I think, growing, and recentering and seeing more what I can do from home and be closer to the family as a professional. That's something that in general, even with a lot of even the CEOs I work with, or business owners, that there's a definite, everything from running publicly traded companies to small businesses, these men and women are recognizing that family life is critical, and to recommit and to be, see, well, actually I can run things from home. I can still accompany my people from home and be present more, and that's a good thing. So that's a message that, it's a paradigm shift that I think it was hard to preach to people before this moment. This has kind of opened up an opportunity that God has used, I think, to help people rethink their commitment to their family and how much do they really need to be away from their family to, in a sense, put bread on the table, right? And provide an education for their family and all that's implied there. So I see that's definitely a kind of cultural thing going on. I mean, me personally, what I've seen, well, just that the church, certainly since Vatican II, has been much more aware and refocused on the role of the laity in the church and the role of the laity in the mission of the church and Christianity as a whole. I think the church is still trying to, at times, discern how to best accompany and support. And I say the church, we're all the church, obviously, but when I refer to the church, I'm talking about those that are maybe reflecting on how, but whether it's the bishops, whether it's the local priests, the deacons, the religious orders, like how can we better support and accompany the laity to fulfill their rightful mission in the church? And so sometimes there still is maybe a lot to be done that we could do to support, for example, men and women in the professional world. That's kind of where my sphere, where I've been focused for the last 9 years since I moved from Rome to Houston. And I can just say from experience that 98% of most professionals that I talk to don't have an active relationship with the priest at the parish. They don't have a spiritual director, spiritual guide, spiritual coach personally. They don't have someone challenging them to how to better integrate their faith and their work, which for professionals, work often is, again, 60 to 90% of their time that they spend. So I'm just seeing a lot of the blessings of God, that is being blessed. And I just see so many lives changing here in Houston. I also help up in Dallas sometimes, and just men and women's lives changing. The idea of just having like a simple things like, okay, well, let's actually just work on having a steady prayer life. You know, what does that look like? And committing to a daily time of prayer, committing to have a spiritual director in their lives. That's gold. I mean, to find somebody who you can talk to about your life, open up with. God blesses that openness. And because none of us knows, I mean, I as a priest need to talk to someone every month. I mean, I don't, you know, the moment we try to go it alone, which oftentimes as men we are told we need to do, you know, don't share, don't be vulnerable, don't open up, you know, dangerous, or, you know, they won't understand you. No, I mean, the Lord works through us kind of opening our hearts to walk the journey with another person in the faith life. So I've seen that being very, very successful and very blessed. And one of the things I recommend everybody. So I hope somewhat that answers your question.
No, Father, that's beautiful. And I think the challenge for sure is to find somebody to walk with you and to be connected locally to your parish priest. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful idea and something to think about.
And groups like this, of course, groups like this, associations, movements, prayer groups, these kind of where you're sharpening the saw with other individuals who feel called to similar walks, this is definitely also good, because none of us are alone. It's a lie of the devil, and his strategy is to isolate us, corner us, you're alone, and then, you know, we can't play back. It's like playing basketball against Michael Jordan. You can't take him on one-on-one. But the moment you have 2-on-1 or 3-on-1, he's done, you know? So groups like this are so critical for walking the journey together.
I totally agree. And Father, anytime you mention a North Carolina basketball player, you have me at hello with that. I have always preached of that kind of that. You said something, and I just keep hearing it over and over again in my head, this demonic grenade thrown into the foxhole. And I think the other thing that's been uncovered during this time is a tremendous amount of anxiety, a tremendous mm-hmm. amount of fear. And what one piece, because we are nearing the end here, what's yep. one thing you'd say to the guy right now who's given up, who's kind of like, hey, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I don't know how to lead my family. I'm terrified. I don't know. Like, what kind of advice would you give to that fella or that man or woman who's listening right now who's just, they're kind of done, and they're giving up?
Well, I would just really encourage you. I mean, I speak from a place of somebody who also has been pushed to the what I felt for, in my own case, were limits, ready to give up. You know, I remember in college, in a low moment where, you know, the thoughts of suicide danced through my head. I remember moments where people that I cared about left me or that I let down, and it's like, well, how can this ever, you know, change, right? And you feel that, like, my life is worthless, or I've gone beyond the point of return. It's over. You know, I've gone too far. I've messed up too bad. And I would just encourage anyone out there, whether you're there or maybe, you know, going towards that direction, that to really, especially what I find very, is go before the crucifix or go before the Eucharist and just let Jesus tell you that you are loved beyond measure, that you are loved as a son of God, and it is never too late, right? It is never, you're never alone. You're never too far away. He's got you. I mean, to hear him tell you on the cross that he did this specifically for you and you are worth it to him, right? As if you were the only person in the world, he died for you and to prepare an eternal dwelling for you. And because of that, when he stretched out his arms on the cross, he saw every single sin, every single weakness, every single choice, every single low moment of your entire life, those in the past and those still to come. And he said, I got this, you know? And he embraced it with his arms open. I got this. There's nothing too big, nothing too heavy in your life that I can't handle. And as long as you bring it to me, we're going to work through because I got you. So that's, I know they're beautiful words. I know they can sound a little idealistic, but they're the truth. And we have to let them, by the help of God, penetrate and rewrite the lies the spiritual malware, right? That gets inside our system and try to rewrite the way we see our lives, which is false. This is the truth. This is the Lord can work with you no matter where you're at, and it will be okay if you just give it to him.
To the man or woman who's listening right now who's given up, Father Nathaniel is speaking to your heart right now, and really Jesus is speaking through him to your heart. So you got this. Like, Jesus has got this. And so, Father, I know I'm fully aware that you are in the path potentially of a fairly large storm. So before you pray us out of here, I want to assure you that we're going to pray for you and that we are praying for you and praying for all the people close to you that are in the path of this storm for their safety as well. But I want to ask you to pray us out. Scott will come in on the back end. And close the call down, but I just want you to know that I'm honored to have spent a little bit of time with you. And the words, you're one of those people I can already tell that it'll be, you know, 2 days from now and I'll still be thinking of these things you said. And I just thank you for that time, and know I'm praying for you. and know that the time in the foxhole with you has been blessed. And I know there are people on this call that were blessed. So pray us out, and then Scott will jump in at the tail end and close us down.
Sure thing. It's been a pleasure with you, and let's pray together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together. In last week's scripture and Mass, we heard that how you walked along and this rich young man ran up to you and asked what is needed to have eternal life. And this beautiful phrase that those that were present described to us, that you fixed your eyes on this young man, this young person, and you loved him. Today, Lord, we ask that you and the Father give us the experience that you fix your eyes on each one of us in an individual, personal way. You see each of us today with great love and great joy. You smile as you look and gaze upon each one of us as sons of God, as daughters of God. Please, may your Spirit really confirm us in that, convict us of that, that there's no, the foxhole of our hearts, there's no place where you don't want to be with us. You, even in the grimiest, dirtiest, most seemingly God-forsaken part of our lives, you want to be there, and you are there close by. So may we experience that in a deeper way this day, and we pray for all these men and women on the call that you may send them also forth into the mission, like Father Capon. We pray for his intercession as well, that we can see our mission to accompany our sisters and brothers, starting with our families, but also into our workplaces and into social settings as our mission territory, that we are the modern-day missionaries, we are the modern-day Christian leaders, modern-day apostles you're sending, that the gospel is not in other people's hands, but it's in our hands. And so may we also be convicted of the joyful responsibility you give us and the hope you have in each one of us to be a good ambassador through our smile, through our compassionate heart, through offering a word of inspiration and encouragement, and also sometimes a word of challenge and inviting them to consider you as their Savior. Lord, may you bless all those in harm's way of the hurricane and all those who are suffering in harm's way this day, and all the first responders and those who are helping the relief efforts. We entrust all ourselves and our families and loved ones and our mission to our Blessed Mother, Queen of the Apostles, as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And thank you, Father Nathaniel.
You're
great
welcome.
Prayer.
God bless you.
It's a great wisdom, I think, on our identity, our balance, and mission in all of our lives. And I think it's great for us to hear that our faith doesn't have to be a distraction from our work or our family life or what we want to do, but can actually help us become more integrated and balanced. Of course, all these great ideas in the world don't mean much if we don't follow up on them. So that's why we always try to add a little challenge at the end of each episode. You spoke about Father Capon being a man of prayer, and that often we also don't spend enough time in prayer. So the challenge this week is just to spend 10 to 15 minutes each day and really ask the Lord to ground our identity in him as his son or daughter, as you mentioned several times. And then also to pray for, his sense of balance and mission in our life, something that you brought up beautifully. So 10 to 15 minutes each day. So that's our challenge. Also, if you guys have enjoyed listening to The Foxhole with Father Capon, we just ask that you do share the podcast with a friend. Your referral might be the encouragement that they need this week. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there who could use this advice and wisdom from Father Nathaniel, this spiritual direction from him. Our next guest in the Foxhole has a great story of survival against all odds. Dave Kelly is a cancer survivor whose recovery defied his doctor's belief. He'll join us to share how his ordeal shaped his relationship with God and with his family. And then the following week, we'll be joined by Adam Wright, who's host of the Roadmap to Heaven show on Catholic Covenant Radio out of St. Louis. And he's an avid listener of the podcast and shares his stories with his audience. So I think I got that backwards, too. I think it's Covenant Catholic Radio. So sorry about that, Adam, as you're listening. These are two great laymen that we'll have on. And then for September 11th, we actually have a very special interview that's going to go straight to podcast. We recently had the pleasure of speaking with Major General Pat Brady, who is a Medal of Honor recipient, who is recognized for his actions as a dust-off pilot, a rescue pilot during the Vietnam War. It was a great conversation about faith, overcoming fear, from a man who put his own life on the line for the sake of others, just like Father Capon did. So get excited about that one on September 11th is when we'll release it and share it with your friends. So that's all we have for today. We're glad that you joined us in the foxhole. Stay humble, stay courageous, and may Father Capon pray for all of us.
Thanks for joining us in the foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.